Years I spend in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. Sin I learned, then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. Salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. And mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me.
Part again.
Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan, and oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Oh, mercy there was great and grace was free. His pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary.
One more time together.
Oh yes, his mercy there was great and grace was free. His pardon there was multiplied to me. Lord this morning.
God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Brother Arnie and Sister Alice, if you'd come at this time. And I'd asked Brother Arnie, they hadn't done a special for us in a while. I said, you all plan on having a special for us Sunday morning. So he said they would. So we're looking forward to it.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord again.
Amen.
It's hard to get up and sing before a group of God's wonderful people like this without saying a little something. I just haven't learned to do that yet. So if you'll bear with me. Before Alice and I met, I should say misfortune, but I see God's hand in all of it now. But I attended a year of Bible college in an Assembly of God Bible College in the Twin Cities of Minnesota. And by the tender hand of Jehovah, they booted me out before the year was over. Pentecostal Trinitarian denomination, if you're not familiar with them. And they taught us things like the song leader shouldn't preach. So, I mean, you don't have any trouble from Brother Furman in that respect. And that the preacher shouldn't sing. Well, I don't know where they got that idea from, because I'm glad we don't have to go by any man's guidelines, aren't you? But I'm real grateful for this group of people here. People magazine puts out an issue where they have the world's most beautiful people. Where did they get that garbage from? Right here is God's beautiful people.
That's right.
I'm so glad to be part of that. Let me mention this just a little bit of trivia. I'm sorry. But I walked the same halls when I was in that Bible college that Jim Baker and Tammy Faye Baker walked before I came there. That should mean something, shouldn't it? I jest, but I'm just making fun of the enemy who told me I would never be able to serve God. Told me I would always be the kind of person that I was, and he lied. God proved him to be a liar, just like he proved him to be a liar with you precious saints. And I appreciate Brother Nathan making room for us to share with you today in song. I don't say this to try to act humble. We are not special singers. I've heard people say that before, and then they would raise the roof, and so they were just trying to act humble. But we're not special singers, but we sing about something special. God richly bless each one of you. I'm glad to be amongst you today, man. My dear wife, it's an honor for me to stand beside her. The greatest gift that God could have ever given. Lord, today.
I was thinking about Brother Arnie and Sister Alice there, and I know he said they weren't special singers, but I don't like to disagree with him, but I have to disagree with him on that. I know some of you are singers, and to be able to sing all those sevenths and sharps and all that, not go flat, and harmonize together like that, I thought, what a testimony they are to us, that they don't only sing in harmony as husband and wife, but they live in harmony together as husband and wife. And amen. I appreciate brothers and sisters like that. And amen. Let's just sing this morning. Let's worship the Lord. Amen. This is number 52 in your hymn book. My heart was distressed, neath Jehovah's dread frown, and low in the pit where my sins dragged me down. I cried to the Lord from the deep miry clay, who tenderly brought me out to golden day. Oh, he brought me out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my heart today, a song of praise, hallelujah. He placed me upon the strong rock by his side. My steps were established, and here I'll abide. No danger of falling while here I remain, but stand by his grace until the crown I gain. Oh, he brought me out of the miry clay, and he put my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my heart today, a song of praise, hallelujah. He gave me a song, 'twas a new song of praise. By day and by night, its sweet notes I will raise. My heart's overflowing, I'm happy and free. I'll praise my Redeemer who has rescued me. Oh, he brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my heart today. Let's stand and sing it together. Oh, he brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my heart today, a song of praise, hallelujah. I'll sing of his wonderful mercy to me. I'll praise him till all men his goodness shall see. I'll sing of salvation at home and abroad, till many shall hear the truth and trust in God. Oh, he brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my heart. Shake your neighbor's hand while we sing it. Oh.
He's got it all. Oh, every circumstance, He's got it all in control. Oh, He put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. I put my life, oh, I put my life in His hands. Lord, I put my life in Your hand. Now every road I walk on, I'm sure is in His plan. I put my life in His hands. One more time together. He's got it all. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. Oh, He put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control.
Amen. You believe that this morning? Well, I've asked Brother Layton if he would come this morning and share his testimony with us. And I asked him a few specific things I'd like to hear. And then just however the Lord leads him as far as his testimony goes. And I appreciate brothers like Brother Layton and Brother Arnie and Brother Buckles and different ones that they've been down life's road a little bit further than I have. And I, whenever they start talking, I kind of just start listening a little bit more because I know they've got experiences that they can share that can help me and encourage me. And I believe it'll be an encouragement to you as well. And he just asked if we'd sing this together as he comes this morning. So let's sing it. Amazing Grace. Amen. How many's thankful for grace? Oh, it's amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Lord, it saved a wretch like me. Lord, I once was lost, oh, but
amazing grace. Brother Nathan asked that we go ahead and read the Psalms first, the morning reading of the Psalms, and I kept looking because I was thinking we was 11 more up, but then it finally, my computer finally clicked in past that spot there. So we're going to read this morning, as usual, we'll start with 78 and read through 88, reading the 88th altogether, if you would, this morning. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed.
My soul
Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me?
For I am become like a bottle of smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes.
How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me?
The proud that did this for me, return not after thy law.
All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongly. Help thou me. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Let us pray just before you sit down, if you would. Father God, as I come before a group of your people, humbled as always, Lord, when I stand to talk of you, whether it's to testify or whether it's to preach the word, but Father, I ask you to be with me. I've already committed myself to you. But I ask again that you come and stand with me and help me in these things. And Lord, may it bring encouragement and even joy as our brothers spoke of. And Lord Jesus, may it just give us strength to continue in this battle, knowing that you have all things under control. All things are in your hand. And if we can just remember that, we wouldn't worry. But Lord, we just commit this testimony into your hands for your glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So thank you, musicians. Brother Nathan, well, there have been several that have asked about my death and resurrection and hadn't heard about it and want to hear about it and to hear about a month ago, Brother Nathan asked me if I'd be willing to give it, and I said, sure. And I'm always glad to tell what God has done for me. And I realize there's others that probably have greater testimony than I do. But I'm just your brother. And when I tell these things, or what little I know, somebody said something this morning, said, I just like to tell what little I know. There was a certain place that I'd been going to and was telling some of these things, and I presume it was jealousy. I mean, I wouldn't know what else to say, and that word got around that Brother Layton thinks he's really somebody. I never thought that. I'm just your brother. That's the only thing I can say. I only tell these things because it was God. Because if it wasn't for him, where would I be? I can look out here on the street and I can see the prostitute. I can see the drug addict. I can see the drunkard. I can see the so-called Christian. And I'm no better than they are. I'm simply a sinner saved by grace. It's that simple. It's only by his grace that I stand here. Not always wanted to be a preacher, but God called and I have to do what he says. And I'm not the greatest. I don't claim to be. I'm just a simple fellow and I preach it as simple as I know how. I'm not saying I don't know anything, but I don't know everything. So what I know, I've learned from the prophet himself, because I've listened to it on tape for a few years, and I believe every word of it. We all make our mistakes, and we all stumble, we all fall, we all have problems and battles we fight, but we know one thing, the Master's got it all in his hands, and it's all under control. So Brother Nathan asked me two other things besides how I died and resurrected, but he said he wanted me to tell the people how you became a minister and how I came into the message. I could make the first one real short, Brother Brian. I can just say God called me. I was about 16 and still in a Pentecostal church down in a little town I was raised in, and I doubt if any of you have heard of it. Well, very few of you heard of it. It's a place called Weed Patch. That's exactly what it was called, Weed Patch. That's outside of Bakersfield, which is where Brother Branham held some meetings. And I was around 16, 15 and a half, 16 years old, and I got up to testify. And, you know, those of you who came out of Pentecostal know how testimony services were back then, and maybe still are, I don't know. But people would testify, and they might, just like Brother Branham said on tape, they might testify for 20, 30 minutes or so forth. I don't know if that's exactly the time he used, but the Spirit of the Lord hit me, and I started preaching. And didn't really know what to make of it. It surprised me. I'd never thought about being a preacher before, but it was such an anointing. And to be honest, at that age, I didn't know what to do with it. Even after I finished, I still didn't know. But we preached a few times after that at the church, and we just enjoyed it and knew and believed in our heart we were called to preach. But as I've said many times, I said back then you was a young Pentecostal preacher and you thought you knew everything. One day I come across the prophet of God in this message and realized I didn't know anything. So, but I am glad to say that most of what I did believe I didn't have to change, because it was right down the line with what Brother Branham had taught. Few things like women preachers, which we had a woman pastor, and we've seen the dead raised and devils cast out and miracles done, but we learned that God can use a woman even in his permissive will, as Brother Branham taught us. So it took a while to understand that. That was the only thing I ever heard in this message that I couldn't understand. Women preachers. And I guess because I was raised around one and went women preachers, and I just laid it up on a shelf, and it was about 2 years later, probably 67 or somewhere in there, that before I got it. And I couldn't tell you today what tape I was listening to that Brother Branham said something, and I went, oh, now I get it. And sure, I may have heard him say the same thing on a dozen other tapes, but it wasn't time, and I didn't fight it. I just went right on saying he had to be right. I just don't understand it. And if I may, I'd say the same thing to a lot of people out here. I wish they would take that same kind of attitude. Not because I did, but I believe it's necessary. If you don't understand something that the Lord said through his prophet, why fight it? Why not just, if you believe he's a prophet of God, then just take what he said and turn it over to God and let him show it to you. Just go on. But too many of them want to fight. But nonetheless, so that's, in essence, that's the short version of how I became a preacher. Because God called me, and I just do what I can and the best I can. I'm not the greatest preacher. I'm not the biggest known or the best known or anything else, but that's not what counts. What counts is obeying him. And I'll tell you, not only that, one thing I do believe and I've always prayed for is staying with the message that we've heard. That's the one prayer I've always asked God. Don't let me be wrong. I don't want to be wrong. I realize that we can be. You can make a mistake. Not intentionally now. Not intentionally. And I believe if you're honest in heart, I believe if you make a mistake, God will forgive you. And if you just keep on pressing, he will bring you around to the right way. So we can all make mistakes, even in the Word. There was only one perfect. That was Jesus Christ. He had all of the Word. Then he sent another Word to us that was perfect in our day. And I had the privilege of being in some of the meetings and seeing him. So how did I come to the message? I'm going to try and watch. Brenda said, her and Cheryl said they're going to hold up a sign for me when it's time to sit down. So I was in the Navy just before I came into the message, and I'd went to Vietnam and came back, and I was fortunate to be in the Navy. I didn't have to go inland and fight. My dad was in the Navy. I was in the Navy. Daryl back there, he was in the Navy. My brother was in the Navy. But I was on an aircraft carrier, but we'd come home, and I took some leave and went down to my home church during around Thanksgiving time of 63. Better get this right or I'll be in trouble. And unbeknownst to me, they were having Thanksgiving Day meetings down there. So I went, and while I was there, I was able to minister. And on a Sunday morning, and after service, after, I don't even remember what I preached on, but after service, I was outside talking to some of the folks and the young folks, and I happened upon two very good-looking young women, and both of them were blonde. And they surprised me because they'd even talk to me, but they did. Well, one of those women, I ended up marrying, and she became my first wife. Well, at least I didn't get any wrong looks that time. And 52 years later, she's still my wife, and that's Sister Brenda Layton. And she's still beautiful in my eyes. So we've had a good marriage. We're like everybody else. We've had our rough times and rocky times, but, you know, I said the other day, I forget who it was to, I think it was Sister Mary Beth was playing dominoes at the house, and I said to her, I said, I feel like kind of like Moses in the sense, I said, Brother Bram said that God gave him exactly the wife. If I paraphrase this, so don't jump all over me, okay? God gave him exactly the kind of wife exactly that he needed. And I said, I feel that's the way it is with Brenda and I. I think he gave me just exactly what I needed. So we're thankful for her and thankful for the Lord. But anyway, I found out from there, I went back to the ship and didn't think anything about Brenda, to be honest. I just met these two good-looking women and or young ladies they were then. But to jump ahead of myself, one of them came into the message and stayed a Christian. The other one went out into the world. So I think she was already out there, wasn't she? Because she already had makeup on and this. And when I told my pastor, when Brenda and I were going to get married, I talked about that blonde girl that I met down there. And she said, oh, no. She's the one with makeup and this. I said, no, Rita. I said, it was the other one. She's, well, I don't remember her. Well, I did. Anyway. I went back to the ship, and I found out that they were attending a man named Brother Noel Daniels down in San Jose at that time. And that was only 50 miles south of San Francisco, which is where my ship was. So on weekend, after I'd been back, I took a weekend off, and I was off duty, and I went down to San Jose, and I found the church, and I attended. And Brenda's brother, he and I kind of got together, and we got our coats mixed up or something at that time. And the next week I came back, I brought his coat back over, and we swapped coats, and he invited me when I come down to stay at their house. So I started doing that, and I bought an old car from a fella, and I was out there working on it, and Brenda's brother come out, and this is how we got married, by the way, so I'm off my testimony a little bit, but Larry come out to help me on this car. It was an old 1938 Buick, by the way. So we were washing it and cleaning it and washing it. Larry says, well, I got to go in the house for a minute. Well, his minute, you know what? He hasn't come back out of that house to help me on that car to this day. So I'm in there sitting inside the car, wiping on the dash and working real good on that car and trying to. And I looked up, and it's sitting just outside of the garage, and the door was up. And Brenda comes walking out of the house into the garage. And when she did, in my heart, I thought, I want to marry a girl just exactly like that. So she walks down and she walks over to the car and she leans in the car driver's side window. She says, you want some help? I said, sure, get in. And boy, she opened that door and she slid, and we worked the rest of the day on that old car. So that was the beginning and the end. But anyway, so that's how I met Brenda. And 2 months from the time I met her, by the way, in Weed Patch at the church until we got married was 2 months and 6 days. So it was God. And her dad, Brother Mayfield, was really nervous about it. But he had been praying and praying and praying. And we had an evangelist through town. And Lawrence went up to be prayed for. And this evangelist told him, said, this thing God said to tell you, this thing that you're praying about, to quit worrying about it. He's got his hands on it. So Brother Lawrence said, that's it. So that's how he let us get married. And I made two more trips to Vietnam after that and came home. First time I came home, we had Daryl. Nothing like starting all over. Second time I came home, we had Cheryl. So, after we were married, just to get back to the testimony, Brenda and I couldn't tell you today why we ended up going to Bakersfield, California, and attending Brother Branham's meetings for our honeymoon. We don't know. We thought about it. We've talked about it over the years. We still, I mean, I know it was God. We all know that. But as far as if you look at it from the man and from the woman, we don't know why. All of a sudden, we decided, you know what? We hear Brother Branham's down in Bakersfield. We're going to go down there. So we did. It was the greatest honeymoon I think you could have. Now, you can go to Hawaii or Niagara Falls or anywhere else you want, but to go and sit and hear the Word of God preached, and I'll be honest, I couldn't tell you without listening to the tapes what he preached on. Because I was newly married and I was going on 20 years old and, you know, and all of this and thousands of people in this big auditorium. I couldn't tell you about that. I'd have to go back and listen to them today. It's like on most tapes, you can't tell me what's on, you know, on every sermon you've heard. But I know on the way home, and it's just like I was sitting in the car today, I can still see it. Little Brenda was driving again. I get teased, by the way, because she drives a lot, but that's all right. On the way home, Brenda looks over at me. She says, "Well, what did you think about that?" Speaking of the message, the meetings. And I sat there for a few seconds and I just shook my head. I remember doing that. I said, "I don't know, honey." I said, "But I can tell you one thing. I have never in my life seen anything like that." And I've seen a lot in Pentecost. I've seen devils cast out. I've seen healings done. I've seen miracles done. I've heard great preachers and so what I thought was great preachers and so forth. But I never, listen, I've also seen the other side of that. I've seen the hypocrites shout and speak in tongues and prophesy and interpret and all of this. I've seen those that come to church and you think they were the greatest Christians they are and you meet them out yonder and you find out they're not. But to come into a meeting and sit and watch a man on a platform that you didn't know and watch people that you knew, speaking of myself, that happened to get a prayer card and come across that platform and watch him tell them their name or what's wrong with them or maybe even where they lived and so whatever it was and what's wrong with them and pray for them, I'd never seen that. I'd never seen it. Who else could do that? So it really, you know, like Brother Branham taught us, he said the gift is to catch, you know, it's like the bait, it catches the fish, or it's to get your attention. It got my attention. So I had never seen anything like that. So we went back home, and I don't know how many days it was after that. It was on a weekend because I had to go back to the ship and so forth after our short honeymoon there. But I remember the first, and I've never forgot it, the first message that I ever listened to at home on tape. And I went in, and Lawrence had a whole bunch of them on a bookshelf, and Mother had a couch sitting right just a little bit off of the bookshelf there, and I sat down on the arm of that couch, and I started looking through those tapes and looking at the titles, and I come across one that said, "The Spoken Word." Sorry, I still get emotional sometimes. The spoken word is the original seed. And I thought, well, isn't that something? That's interesting. I wonder what that means. The spoken word is the original seed. You know how long that tape is? And then it was on reel to reel. So I put it on and I sat on the arm of that couch. I went through that whole tape sitting on the arm of that couch. The only time I got up was to turn that reel over. Start it again. When it ended, put it back in the box, put the next one open, start it, turn it over. I listened to it, and everything I heard on there, except women preachers, which I didn't understand, my heart was going, amen, amen. That's right, that's right, that's right, that's right. Everything. So I knew not only what I had seen a few weeks or so before that, but I knew what I heard right then was absolutely right. And then when Brenda's daddy started talking to me about him, Brother Branham being a prophet of God and so on and so forth, I knew that had to be right. See, there was no looking back. It's either, as the old saying goes, it's either whole hog or nothing. I'm not going to do it halfway. So we were blessed to find the truth. I knew I had found it, or let me say it found me. But God had brought me to that truth. Isn't it strange how you can be raised up somewhere and you go off in the Navy and you come back and say, oh, it's a coincidence. You took your leave at the same time Brother Branham was, you know, or Brenda was down in attending meetings. Well, you call it what you want to. I call it the hand of God. I call it predestination. God knew it had to be here to go here and here. The hat had to be in the right place. If I took leave and Brother Daniel's group, young people, hadn't went down, I would have never met Brenda. If I hadn't met Brenda, I wouldn't have met her daddy. If I hadn't met her daddy, you know, and so we wouldn't have got married, and I wouldn't have heard about Brother Branham. So, see, all of these coincidences? No, I don't believe in that. I believe God has the footsteps of the righteous ordained. So we were blessed to do that. I went, like I said, made two more trips to NAM and came back, and we moved to Tucson. We got back into San Francisco on the 1st of September, 1966. On the 2nd, we left. We drove to Tucson. We was there on the 3rd. And got a place to rent. We were there for 2 weeks, and then I went back because I had to get discharged on the 16th of September. We did that and went right back to Tucson. Now, these are the parts that I try to tell people. I'm not anybody, but I've been blessed. I was privileged in Tucson, not only to, and I attend Brother Perry Green's church, and I got to talk to him, and I heard stories from him and so forth, but I got to listen to tapes at home, and we bought tapes, and from Brother Softman and so forth. But I was privileged to meet and to know and to be friends with many of the people that Brother Branham spoke of. You know, like Brother Perry Green and Brother Collins and Brother Vernon Mann and Brother Roy Roberson, Brother Hickerson and Brother Norman and Brother Wheeler and the Patterson brothers from up in Flagstaff and John and Earl Martin and Brother Welch Evans and the Simpson, the elder Simpsons and Brother Softman and Brother Joe Riley and Brother Sidney Jackson and his wife from South Africa. We even had them in our home several times. And, of course, our dear friend and buddy, Brother Billy Paul. But, you know, and Brother George and Sister Becky and Sister Sarah. But see, when I say that, it's not that Bill Layton is anybody. I'm not. I keep saying I'm your brother. That's all I am. I am just your brother. But I've been blessed to see and hear and to be able to talk with these brothers and hear about fishing trips. And boy, do I wish I'd had tape recorders and making notes. And would you like to have a little recorder back then where you could record all these stories these brothers talked to you about when they went hunting and when they went fishing with Brother Branham and how things were and what was said and what was done. And you can't remember all of them. But it was so great to hear. And I learned so much about Brother Branham, not as the prophet, but as the man. Because he was a husband, and he was a father, and he was a brother, and he was a hunter, and he was a fisherman, and he was a camper, and you know all these different things. And you hear about, you don't just hear about the prophetic side of him, because I've run into so many people, and don't take this the wrong way, but it's true. I've run into so many people that they've got this image of Brother Branham because of not only this, but even the films, that he's up here behind the pulpit and he's preaching that word and he's preaching that word and he's nailing it down, and he should, and he did. And I'm grateful for that. But they forget that when he walked out of there and went home and come down out of that spirit and he went fishing and he got out with his friends or he went hunting, that he was a man. He could stand around the campfire and tell jokes. And people say, what, Brother Branham told jokes? Oh yeah, Brother Branham had a great sense of humor. So does Brother Billy and so does Brother Joseph. So I'm just saying, but I learned so much about him as the daddy from Sister Rebecca and Brother Billy and Sister Sarah, and Brother Joseph was a lot younger then. But the point is, and then from all these other brothers, like Brother Riley one time, it comes to mind, he said he was walking down the street and he said something to Brother Branham about wearing glasses. You know, because Brother Branham was wearing glasses. Now, isn't it strange how that one person can say something and God or that angel won't like it? But somebody else can say something along the same line and it's okay. I used to wonder about that, but I finally got the realization that it's what was in that person's heart that was speaking. So Brother Riley said something, and Brother Branham looked at him and said, I'll give you 18 months till you'll be wearing them. This is Brother Joel Riley, the elder. He's gone on now. But Brother Riley said, Brother Bill, he said, I marked it on my calendar and said it was 18 months to the day I had to go down and get glasses. Now, somebody said, well, he didn't say, thus saith the Lord. Well, that's, you take it any way you want to. He said it, it happened. Amen. Just different things, you know, like that. Brother Ronnie Evans told me the one, and Brother Isaac, you probably heard it. I don't know it. But when they were up hunting, who was, Bill, which one was it that made the onion sandwich? David Wood. Brother David Wood made Brother Branham a sandwich. They were getting ready to go hunt, and he just made him a big old slice of onion, put it between two pieces of bread and kind of wrapped it up, stuck it in his jacket. When he was getting ready to leave, he told his Brother Branham, said, I made you a sandwich for lunch. And, you know, so he went off hunting. Well, come time when Brother Branham felt like it was time to eat, he'd sit down under a tree and pull that sandwich out. Two pieces of bread and a big old slab of onion. But I understood he ate it. I don't like onions that well unless they're fried, but that's, you know, everybody has their taste. So they come back to camp that evening, and they're around there, and he looks over at Brother David, and he said, "I'm going to get even with you for that sandwich." Now you say, "Oh, now, wait a minute, that's a prophet of God." He went, "Now, wait a minute, he was a man." Sure, he was a prophet, but he was a man. So they stood around the campfire. Let me say this. They said they could sit around the campfire and they could laugh and cut up and carry on. But when Brother Branham stood up and walked around to the campfire and he started talking about the word, said everything changed. And he'd stand there and talk, and everybody else would quiet down and listen. But in this case, he told Brother Davis, "I'm going to get even with you for that." So they laughed and carried on about it. And later the boys went on, got in the tent, got in their sleeping bag, you know, and Brother Branham didn't say a thing about it. Just went on like that and never brought it up again. And I don't know what time limit it was, but later on that evening or towards whenever it was, let's just say later that evening, everything kind of quieted down. Those two guys, Ronnie and David, were in the tent. They were sleeping, so Brother Branham gets up and he walks into that tent. David's laying there, and he's got, you know, the tent kind of pulled back, and he's got his shirt off. Brother Branham got him a terrapin, wild turtle. He walked there, and he dropped that on David's chest, pulled that sleeping bag up, and zipped him up in it, trying to walk out. Okay, so when David finally got out of the tent, or out of the sleeping bag, he was all scratched up on his chest. And Brother Branham just looks at him and laughs, said, "I told you I'd get even with you for that sandwich." But I don't know why those two stick with me, but they do. But I just try to see, but he was a man. But when he stood up to talk about the word, it was a whole different thing. So we've been blessed to know all these people and hear different things and see different things and to have many, many good friends. But I look at it like this. The scripture says, "Unto whom much is given, much is required." So where does that put me then? If I've heard so many testimonies and been blessed and to have come across the message called me in 52 years ago, and to hear all the tapes I've heard and to, you know, all these things. Sister Mary Beth came into the message under myself in Oklahoma when I pastored there. Then we had another couple, Vic and Kathy Berna. They were in Pentecost, I think it was, Brenda. I used to work with Sister Kathy, and they come and talk. We sat up for hours and hours and hours and hours and talking with them, and they accepted the message. And now Brother Berna, he's been there for some years since we came here, but he's been in Tucson, and he's now he's a deacon there at Brother McHugh's church, and he's now in charge of the services there. And who would have thought it, you know, 35 years ago, that this young man would come into the message like that, knowing nothing about a prophet or about the message and just what little they knew about Pentecost and whatever man they were under and so forth. But here he is now trying to play the tapes and be a help to the church there. So we came out here one Easter. I can't remember. I keep getting the 80, 81. What year was it Sister Branham passed away? Is that 81, 80? Anyway, it was that same year we were out here for Easter, and that's the year that the Lord told me to move here. And our church had kind of dwindled down, not because of me, I don't think. It might have been, but I'd like not to think that way. But work was bad. Some went to Texas, some went back to Tucson, and some here, and there was like three families left. We couldn't keep it open, so we went to house meetings at my father-in-law's house and holding playing tapes there. But I came at Easter, and the Lord told me to move here. I went back home, put my house up for sale, and 6 weeks later, I was back. So that's how we moved here, and we've been here some 34, 35 years, and it's been good. So that's how I came into the message. Now, death and resurrection. September 2001, Brother Westco down in West Palm Beach was having meetings and decided to go, and we arrived down there at the airport, I think it was either late Friday night, it was Saturday morning, I guess it was, but walking through the courtyard of the motel, I'm not going to tell you who I ran into. There's a bunch of the young brothers, I think it's you and Brother Trevor and Brother Anthony. And, oh, was you there too, Stephen? How did I miss you in that group?
We were so much taller than
you. Yeah. But no, it did. And I mean, Brother Nate said, "Oh, Brother Nate said you should have been here last night." I said, "You sure missed a great service." I remember that. And I said, "I haven't missed anything." I said, "I come expecting." I didn't know what I was saying either. I did go expecting, though. Don't misunderstand me. I went down there expecting something from the Lord. So Saturday night, they played a message, and we had a, oh boy, what a prayer line. Something like 900 people come through the prayer line, and I have the privilege of standing behind Brother Billy and pray for him while he's praying for people and try to keep him from falling and so forth. And Brother Sanger and I are there trying to help him and strengthen him and so forth. But, you know, you go through 900 people. If you just stand there, you're wore out, let alone being under the Spirit of the Holy Ghost and being tired. But the point I'm trying to make, we just had that great, tremendous service. So we get up Sunday morning, and I'd been having trouble with diabetes. Brother Billy, I talked to Brother Billy about it. He said, "Just keep some candy in your pocket, and if you feel that coming on, your blood sugar drop," he said, "just pop a piece of candy in your mouth, and that'll hold you over." So I used to do that. And I think I had it in my pocket that Sunday morning. But we got up and getting ready, and Brenda asked me, she said, "Did you eat breakfast?" And I said, "No." She said, "Well, you need to eat." I said, "I know, but I'm not going to." And she said, "Why not?" And I said, "Well, you know, we had that great service last night. Wonderful service." I said, "And human nature being what it is." Now, you may not agree with me, but I've run into enough people. I know. Maybe you're not, but there are those. That we had such a great service last night, there's no way we can have something like that Sunday morning. Well, we can't, but he can. So I said, Brenda, I said, "I'm going to fast for the service this morning," because I know how people think. For the most part, they think it's just going to be a ho-hum service. You know, we're going, we'll sing some songs, and they'll play the tape, and we'll worship the Lord, and we'll go out. I said, "But I want the people to get another blessing. It was a wonderful service last night. Why can't we have one this Sunday morning?" So I wouldn't eat. So she says, "Okay." So we went to church, come in, and they sat me down on this side over here. And there was enough room, a little more room than there is there, and they had a metal chair on the end of the pews, and I sat there, and Brenda sat next to me, and it was with the preachers. And I know his brother and sister Sanger, and I think Sister Ferguson was there, and brother and sister Amalong was there, and I can't remember who else all on that one row. But I was over by the close to the window. There was enough room to get through. And I'm sitting there, and we've sang, and they've sang, and they've sang, and I'm sitting there, and they've started the tape, and I got up, and I don't like getting up in church. I'm sorry, folks, if you get up, I don't take this personally. I don't like getting up once the service starts unless I absolutely have to go to the bathroom. But I got up, and I went that morning. I just wasn't feeling good. And yes, it was because I didn't eat. But I went and came back and sat down, and I was sitting there, and the tape was started, and I just took my glasses off and put them in my pocket like that, and I'm listening to the tape, and always I could tell when my blood sugar was dropping, because I got this bald spot back here, and it would start back there, kind of a numb feeling. It'd come down and sweep over my face, and I could always, and it started. So I just reached up and I kind of rubbed my face like that, and I looked through here at Brenda, and she looked at me, and I had to ask her later. Now, let me say this before I continue that, before I forget it. I've had to put this testimony of my death and resurrection together from different people that were there and involved in it, so I get it all. Anyway, the point, and no, I haven't forgotten, Brenda. We'll stop in a moment. She knows what I'm talking about. But anyway, she asked me, she says, "Are you feeling all right?" And I said, "Mm-mm." Only I couldn't hear her. I asked her later, "Did you speak to me or did you just mouth it?" She said, "No, I spoke to you." I said, "I didn't hear you." And there it is. I was gone. The scriptural reading that morning was the 23rd Psalms. So if you don't have to stand, but I'm going to read it. We all know it, but I want to read it anyway. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul, and he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I still think that's amazing that Brother Westcoe would pick that scripture to read that morning. And there I was in a service, and I died. And Brenda said, I turned ashen gray, and my head just fell over. She pulled my head up, said she reached around, and she's trying to feel, said she couldn't feel any pulse. Brother Sanger was sitting next to her, and she kind of bumped him and said, get Brother Billy, quick. So Brother Sanger stands up, and he steps around, and he steps behind me. And he's trying to get Brother Billy's attention. And while he's doing that, he's praying for me. He's got his head down here, and he's praying, and he's looking up and trying to get Brother Billy's attention. Now, I came too while he was praying, but you have to understand, didn't know what was going on, because all I heard was somebody talking. I don't know what was being said, but it sounded like somebody back over on the other side of the church talking real loud. And in my mind, I thought, well, how rude that somebody, we're here, a tape is being played, and somebody's actually got the nerve to be in church talking that loud where everybody can hear. I thought, how rude. It was Brother Sanger praying in my ear, but that's how loud it was in my ears, but I couldn't understand what he was saying. But he did get Brother Billy's attention, and he and Brother Ferguson came down, and they walked down and prayed for me, and it seemed like they were, when I opened my eyes and looked, there was Brother Billy on his knees and Brother Ferguson leaning over, and I thought they were there for a long time. That's in my mind, it just seemed like they were there just a long time. But I watched the video later, and they were only gone from the time they walked off out of camera until they walked back into the camera, because they kept it on the pulpit. It was a minute and a half. So anyway, I came back, and I sat there for I don't know how long it was, and Brenda finally looked over, and she says, you want to go outside? And I said, yeah, I think I should. So we stood up, and we made our way back the side, and about halfway back and towards the center of the church there, and on the aisle, Brother Gary Parker was sitting. So if you want to know anything that maybe I don't know, ask Brother Gary, if those of you that know him. If you don't, his wife, Sister Donna, is a receptionist at the Voice of God Recordings. Precious people, wonderful people. But Brother Gary was there, and he said, Bill, he said, and I hold it up because it's like a coffee cup. He said, we were sitting at the restaurant. He said, you were as white as that coffee cup when you walked out of there. And I would say it was a mistake. I shouldn't have went outside because it was so hot out there. And I still had my suit on. But we walked out, and Brother Wesco has double doors. Walked out, and I remember stepping to the left, and I stepped over there. And I was standing, it was so hot, and I know I was just doing this, you know, and I can remember that. And all of a sudden, one of the brothers, there was a little Spanish brother, about this high. I remember him. And he says, Brother, he said, you want me to get you a chair? And I said, no. I said, I'm going to sit down right here. And I was about that far off the wall, so I hit the wall and I started down. And when I did, he grabbed one arm and Brother Gary grabbed the other. And I remember that brother telling me, I'm going to take you inside in the classroom where it's cool. So they took me into the classroom and sat me in. There was three chairs sitting there. I remember how the chairs at the tabernacle had those high backs on them that sit up there? Well, they had three of those sitting there. They'd taken them off the platform and put other chairs up there for the different ministers. And when they took me in there, I remember thinking, well, I'm not worthy to sit in those chairs. Those belong on the platform. That's the pastor and so forth. But they sat me, I think, on the end one, and Brenda, you sat in the middle one, I think it was, but it doesn't matter. There's three of them there. And I was in and out of consciousness in there. And they called, and Brother Billy came in. And I know there was 12 people, and I'm missing. I can't remember two of them. I know Brother Gary Parker was there, and Brother Billy Paul, and Brother Ferguson, and Brother Sanger, Brother Westcoe, and Sister Westcoe. And there was two registered nurses that were in there. And Brother Yancey's son, I don't remember his name, he's the bald-headed fellow, he's a deacon at Brother Yancey's, or he was, don't know if he still is, but he was there, and I think Brother Amelong was in there. But I only came up with 10. I used to know all of them, but I can't remember. And my wife was there, yes. But there was 12 people beside myself. And I can remember trying to feed me something because I hadn't eaten. So I remember Sister Yancey went and got some kind of meal, or I don't know what it was, but I was too tired. I couldn't eat it. And then somebody said something about give him some orange juice. That'll bring him out of it. Well, the orange juice didn't help. So I remember somebody else saying, put some sugar in the orange juice. Said they do that, and that really snaps them back. So they put sugar in the orange juice. And believe me, folks, try it. You won't like it. I mean, because you've got natural sugar out of the orange, and you've got manufactured sugar, and you mix them together, and oh, that didn't work either, because I'd just go right back out. I owe Brother Billy one. I haven't got him back yet. Because Brother Billy came up with this idea. He said, told him, said, get some ice, and we'll pour ice down his shirt. Said, that'll shock him and bring him back. Yeah, it did, but not for long. So they undid my shirt, you know, my tie, and unbuttoned my shirt. And I can remember Brenda taking that, and I remember that much. She dumped that whole, well, I don't know how much it was, but a whole lot of ice went down my shirt. And I remember going, and then went, just that quick. Anyway, they tell me that Brenda said I died in the congregation. And they tell me in there, and there was two registered nurses. And I got to talk to one of them a couple years later when we had the privilege of going back down for a meeting down there. I didn't preach, but I was just attending a meeting. And this little nurse, little short Spanish lady, she said, Brother Layton, she said, you were in trouble. She said, you were in bad shape. And she said, you were gone. I said, really? She said, yeah. And I'd already heard, but I wanted to hear it from her. Her and the other nurse said they had checked my pulse and checked my pulse and checked my pulse. Said, you died twice in there in that chair. Said, one time you died, you was gone 2 minutes. Said, you had no pulse and you weren't breathing. And she said, but the next time you died, you went for 7 minutes. And she said, I know. I mean, she's a registered nurse. Come on. Who does, when you go to the hospital, who checks your pulse and who checks your breathing? Who checks your respiration or whatever you want? And your blood pressure? The doctor? No. The nurses do all the work. The doctor just comes in and says, well, how are you feeling? Blah, 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 and all this. Okay, that's $50, $100, or whatever, and walks out. But the nurses do all the work, as far as I'm concerned. So I have no doubt that I was dead. I know I was dead, so I don't have to have a doubt. But this nurse confirmed it and over and over and over. Now, the word went around that I had a heart attack, and I didn't, because Brother Billy said his heart stopped. Well, Billy's right. My heart did stop. I was dead. But he didn't say I had a heart attack, but people interpreted the fact that my heart stopped that I had a heart attack. I didn't. Diabetes killed me. I went into insulin shock, into an insulin coma, and my whole system shut down, and I died. I've been asked many times, what happened when you died? When I died, I went to a place which was strange. It was a place that was 100% dark, but it was 100% peaceful. And I was 100% not afraid. It had bothered me for a while after a few weeks or wherever time was, and I got on the computer and started looking it up, and because that bothered me. Now listen, we're human beings, and a lot of us can take a dark place and we compare it to an evil place. You know, darkness is evil and so forth. And that's why it bothered me. But then I came across several places where Brother Branham said that when we die, we have to cross that great dark place called death. And that's where I went. I can remember, I tell people when I was there, I said, I remember being in that dark place and I was standing just like this. And I remember looking around, can't see nothing. I mean, it's total darkness. And I'm not the least bit afraid. I was just totally at peace. But while I'm there, all of a sudden I heard Brother Branham. And it sounded to me like he was behind me and yet above me. And he's talking about how that we haven't had a prophet since Abraham with the name ending in H-A-M. And he said, but we have one today. And he says, Billy Graham. You know, G-R-A-M-H-A-M. And where I was standing there, I screamed out and I said, it's Branham. B-R-A-M-H-A-M. And I was back. Brenda said, you didn't say anything. I said, I may not have said nothing sitting in that chair, but wherever my spirit went, I screamed out, it's Branham, and spelt it. And the Lord brought me back. Brother Billy told me, he said, Bill, he said, God wasn't done with you. So he didn't let you go all the way into the light. He let you go this far, and then he brought you back. Brother Gary Parker said it this way. He said, the devil tried to take you, but he picked the wrong time, the wrong place, and the wrong group of people. Now, it took me 3 years after this, after I passed away and came back, before I got to talk to Brother. Every time I'd call him up or see him, he said, I want to talk to you about this. He said, we'll talk, we'll talk, we'll talk. If I'd call him up, he'd be too busy. Call him up, he'd be too busy. But we had something come up in the family, a problem, and I called him up and he said, come on in. So we went in and talked to him. And after we got through with that, I said, now, while I got you here, I said, I want to talk to you about this, about Florida. He said, okay. So he's telling me, he said, Bill, he said, you know, when we called in there and we was praying for you, he said, you know how it is. And I do, and probably anyone that's a minister there that's been in prayer lines and praying for people. He said, you know how it is. Let me correct that. You don't have to be a minister to be in a prayer line. I'm sorry. He said, you pray for people and you just can't get through. I said, yes, sir. He said, well, that's the way it was with you. He said, we prayed and we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. He said, and we just couldn't get through. And he said, I was standing over by the door, and he said, I was getting ready to go back, Brother him and Brother Ferguson, getting ready to go back to the platform. And my wife told me later, she said, I was watching Billy. He said, he looked up at Brother Ferguson. He said, he's gone. He's dead. She said, I read his lips. So they were going to go back to the platform. And he said, you know, Bill, he said, ever since I seen the angel in the motel room that time, he said, I know when he comes. I said, yes, sir, I believe that. He said, and I was getting ready to go back to the platform. He said, and all of a sudden, he said, there he was. So I looked up at Brother Ferguson. I said, he's here. Let's go pray for him. He went over, knelt down, and said, Lord, I'm filling out one of my checks for Brother Bill. Simple prayer. And I came back. And they all went, you know, the most of them left, but the little deacon brother, the Mexican brother I was telling you about, he said, I'm going to take you into the deacon's office. They've got a couch in there. We'll lay you down. So they helped me in there, and as I was really weak, and I was soaking wet, and it wasn't all from the ice. Now, my bowels or kidneys didn't move. That's not it. That don't always happen when you die. But I was just, my body just flushed the moisture out of it, and I was soaking wet. My pants, my shoes, my socks, and my shirt from the ice and all, but I was just soaking wet, and I was really tired and really weak. So they took me in and laid me, it wasn't a full couch, it was like a love seat, so they propped my feet up on the end of it and laid me there, and I laid there, and there they had a speaker. I could hear the message, and by the way, the message for that morning was, this day is this scripture fulfilled. Brother Billy, when he got to the door, I remember I opened my eyes and I looked up at him, and he turned and he looked and he said, Bill, he pointed right at me, he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled for you. I asked him in his office 3 years later, what did you mean by that, Brother Billy? He says, I don't know. Well, it was fulfilled for me because I was resurrected. And he said he was the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus Christ surely is. So I laid in on that couch. Then for the rest of the tape, and somewhere towards the end of it, I told him I wanted to sit up. And I remember the nurses were still in there with us. And I remember them telling me, you can sit up, but don't you try to get up. So they propped my feet up on a chair and let me sit up on that couch. And I sat there, and Brother Sanger was there with me, and Brother Gary Parker was there, and my wife and the two nurses. I don't know if anybody else, but I know of those. And towards right at the end of the tape, they was having an altar call on the tape. And Brother Sanger had excused himself to go to the bathroom. And while he was gone, the altar call started. And Gary says, Bill, he said, I'm going to go out and see what's going on in the sanctuary. And I remember saying, okay, Gary. And out he went. And when he come back, I don't know how long it was, a minute, less, more, I don't know. Just, but when he came back in, you know, we sing about the mighty rushing wind coming down on the day of Pentecost. Well, that's the way it felt when Brother Gary come through that door to me. He come through, busting through that door. Bill, he said, you ought to see the young people in the audience, or in the young people at the altar. Really excited, just like that. And it just felt like whoosh, you know. And I said, okay. I said, let's go. I said, somebody help me up. I couldn't move. So the nurses got over there and they took the chair out, put my feet down, and I don't know, somebody helped me stand up. So I'm just standing there. I looked down and I said, well, wait a minute. I can't go in there like this if my tie's undone. I didn't do that, but I just stood there. I couldn't move my arms. I said, somebody button up my shirt and fix my tie. And I don't know who did it, Brenda or the nurses, but they buttoned up my shirt, pushed my tie up, and I said, okay, let's go. So Gary leads me out. You go out the door, turn right. There's another door, and you step into the entryway. You turn left and go through the double doors into the sanctuary. So we get out into the entryway, and I'm sitting there. I said, wait a minute, Gary. I said, I can't go like this. My shirt's out. And my arms moved. So I tucked my shirt in. And I said, okay, let's go. So we started in and started down there, and I walked in. Coming in, and be like coming straight in from back where the lift is, and the center of the aisle. I was going to go down the center aisle of the church. And I hear this, somebody saying, Bill. I stopped and I looked. I said, it's Gary. He's calling Bill. I said, what? He said, this way. I said, no, this way. He said, no, this way. Okay. So I followed him over. Be the right, be this side over here. So I followed him across and I come down. And people, I kept thinking, why are you bringing me this way? There's people coming from the altar up that side and we're going down that side and you only got that much room. So we'd go in there and everybody's standing up. So we'd go in there and somebody'd be coming. So I'd step in front of this person. I'd just grab and say, hey, God bless you. How you doing? You know, and turn around and step back into the aisle and go down. And I remember this heavy set black fella. There, when I gave him a hug and told him, God bless you, he looked at me like I was crazy. I guess it shocked him, you know. But I don't know what it was, but I just stepped in, let it bother me. Finally, I got down to the front, and they're three deep across there. You know, just standing there watching. So I'm standing there, and I'm trying to see, and I can't see the young people because they're down praying. So I reached out and went, tapped one fella on the shoulder, and I said, excuse me. I stepped up in front of him, and I stood there, and I still couldn't see, so excuse me. So I stepped up in front of that one. I got one more row in front of me. I said, all right. I said, excuse me. And I stepped up in front of that one. Now I'm in front of everybody. And I'm just standing there watching the young people. Now, I'm serious. I knew where I was at, but I was also up here watching in panoramic. You may not believe it, but God knows it's true. I could see everything I was doing from up here. And yet, I could see everything that's going on from here. And I'm standing there watching these young people, and I'm up here watching myself. And all of a sudden, God spoke to me, and he says, pray for them young people. And I was just like a little kid. I said, okay. Not out loud, but in my heart. I said, okay. So I walked up there, and I'm just praying for the people, and I'm praying for them, and I'm watching Brother Wesco. He's up here. He's just singing away, you know. And I'm praying for the people, and I'm watching Brother Wesco, and he went... and he said, hey. I said, look at that. He said, 15 minutes ago, that man was a dead man. I know I was there. And he said, now he's out here praying for the people. And the church just went wild. Amen. He runs over to Brother Billy. Listen, you don't bother Brother Billy, especially. I can't speak for all of you, but I wouldn't bother Brother Billy when he's praying. But he's down there praying, and Brother West goes over there beating him on the shoulder. Brother Bill looked up at it. I'm watching all of this, and I'm still praying for these young people, and all these people are shouting and screaming and clapping and going on. And Brother Bill looked, and he went. Brother Billy looked at, boy, up he come. He had to shake my hand, and Brother Wesco and Brother Ferguson, Brother Matty, and I went all the way down, all got all the way over here to the end, prayed for the last person. So then I just stepped back and just stood there. Everybody else is worshiping and carrying on and going on. I'm just. And all of a sudden. It's like having two people on your shoulder. One saying, why don't you shout? The other one says, you can't shout, you're sick. You just got raised from the dead. So I'll go ahead and shout. No, don't you shout. I mean, you're liable to pat. No, go ahead and shout. No, I ain't going to shout. So I said, thank you, Jesus. 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 When I got through with that, I just stopped. That old don't shout left too. But you see, it's just God. But see, I'd fasted for what? Because I wanted something great for the people. I didn't know God was going to use me. Now, I'm not great. I don't mean that. But I didn't know he was going to use my death and resurrection to bless the people in such a way. And so, anyway, church was dismissed. And believe me, I was so tired. I was really tired. But this one fellow grabbed me and hugged me when I was trying to get out. He was running for, and he pulled me in. He just squeezed me so tight. I just almost passed out. I go, oh no, Lord, here I go again. And boom, and I thought I was going to go. And he let go and he walked off. And Brother Gary grabbed me by the arm. And Brother Gary Parker, now he was trying to protect me. He's trying to keep everybody away from me because he knew what, you know, physically what condition he thought I was in or what I was in. But then there was Brother, Bill, help me. What's his name? The big fella that passed away here recently from Brother Ferguson's. Oh, I lost his name. I should have wrote it down. But anyway, this brother, he just, great big old fella. And he just took me in his arms and he just held me so gentle. You know, the scripture says, those of you that are strong strengthen the weaker. I told him, I said, brother, you must have had strength because I got it from you. Because when he let me go, he prayed a little bit for me. And when he let me go, I felt like I just got strength from him. And we went out, and people, you know, I don't blame people. They're wanting to shake your hand, and you just raised from the dead, so they're getting a blessing from it, and that's fine. And finally, Brother Gary got me to the car, and we went out to supposed to go out to eat, but I didn't eat very much. All I ate was watermelon and cantaloupe and anything that had moisture in it. I got me a great big old bowl of that stuff, and that's all I ate, just packing myself full of moisture again. Went back to the motel. And I lay down to rest, and I slept, what, 2 or 3 hours? I don't know what it was. But Brenda at that time had called the children and told them what happened, and I didn't like that too well, but she said I had to. If we didn't tell them and they heard about it, so they would have been upset. Well, lo and behold, they heard about it. I heard later it went around the world in 2 hours. So it was all over, and somebody walked up to Paul. I think it wasn't Paul come up to you and say, hey, I heard your dad died down in Florida. And Paul says, what? Oh, and he was resurrected too. That'd have to be a shock, you know. But the Lord is so good to us with all of these things. And Brenda didn't want to go to church Sunday. I said, you ought to stay home and rest. I said, no, I'm not going to let the devil win. We're going to church tonight. She said, all right. So we got ready and we went. We were late. Got the last shuttle from the motel to the church and we were late. And the church was packed out. I mean, they had people packed in there. And they had a tent set up. So I told Brenda, well, come on, we're going out to the tent. I said, well, maybe we can get a chair out there. Well, I found out later the tent was packed. There was no seats in the tent. So we're standing there in the entryway and was getting ready to go to the tent, and out of the office there came Brother Wesco and Brother Ferguson and Brother Billy and whoever, Brother Matty. Brother Wesco looked, oh, you're here. He said, I'll get you a seat. I said, no, I'm going to go out in the tent. He said, I said I'd get you a seat. I said, yes, sir. So there's that same little Spanish brother. He said, you find him a seat. He wasn't being mean. That's just Brother Wesco. Just, you find him a seat. He went down and somebody gave up their seat. For this old boy. They put me on the second row right in the middle. I think it was the second row. Second row, I think it was, yeah. In a metal chair, so I sat there. And they set Brenda back just as they left the doors open. They set her a chair right there inside the door so she could see me. And this service went on, and you're up and you're singing, and you're sitting down. You're up and you're singing, and you're sitting down. You're up and you're singing, and you're sitting down. You're up and you're singing. Whew. And I was already tired to begin with. I was so tired. And then Brother Ferguson preached that night, or did they play a tape? I think Brother Ferguson preached that night, Sunday night. And I'm sitting there, and I was so tired, people, and I was so hot. I mean, they had air conditioners going full blast, fans going, and it was still, I was so hot. I just had to lean forward, and I bowed my head, and I said, Lord, if you don't do something for me, I'm going to have to get up and go outside. I won't be able to sit here. I no more said that than a cool breeze started down my neck. And it stayed there through the rest of the service. I told Brother Gary later about it. And I said, you know, when I go back down there, I'm going to look and see where that air conditioning vent was, because it might have been over. He said, Bill, you know better than that. I said, yeah, I do. He said, not only that, he said that air conditioning vent was over halfway, you know, be like the middle of the pews. And those pews were longer than these. He said, and up there, and he said, it was going the whole time. He said, that wouldn't have done it anyway. I said, I know. But when I went back, I did look, see where the air conditioning vent was. And he's right, it wouldn't have done no good. So I know it was the Lord helped me, and I was able to stay through the service. We went home on Monday morning. Wednesday, I got up, got on a plane, went to Flagstaff, preached Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and came back home. God is good, because every time I'd go to preach, I'd be so tired I couldn't hardly do anything. Get in the pulpit and God give me strength. I'd be fine all the way up to the next day. When it come time to study for that night, everything would just, like the old devil, just taking all of my strength, get in the pulpit, and there he come again. So we're thankful. But because of this death and resurrection, God also used it to allow me to go, give me the privilege of going to Central America. For 10 years I traveled to Central America, and I had the privilege of going to Paris and the privilege of going to Brussels and Canada. Not that I'm anybody. See, that's what I'm trying to make sure you folks remember. Brother Bill's nobody. I'm your friend. I'm your brother. I may be a deacon. I may be a minister. But you know what? Most of all, I'm your brother. It's no big me, little you. We all have a job. We have to do it. You know, Brother Branham always amazed me. Here's the greatest man I've ever seen in my life, as far as I'm concerned. And yet he'd say, I'm no better than you are. He said, I'm just called to a little higher office. And I've never forgotten that, so I try to remember that. I'm no better than anybody else. God just called me to be his son, and I accepted, and he called me to the ministry, and I try to do what little I can for him and to help some of his children. If I go out and just help one person, it's worthwhile. So we're so thankful for that. But you know, God is good to us. No matter if the musicians would come, I'd appreciate it. But he is so good to us that sometimes we fail to stop and give him thanks. Sometimes we fail to stop and remember how mighty he is. Those of you who was over at the storefront, remember when I'd done the little lesson on how great is our God and how great God is, and we talked about how great the universe is and how big it is, and or how big they think it is, and they can't even imagine it now, and so forth, and all that God has did. When we start thinking of those things and we think of what we are and who we are, we're like a speck of dust floating around in a beam of sunshine. But yet God's mindful of us. That's the amazing thing. And he was mindful of me that morning. He let me pass away and he brought me back for his glory. It wasn't for me, it was for him. When we was having the singing out at the 4-H, when Brother Joseph was having meetings and was having the singing out there, and the Lord gave me the privilege of kind of being in charge of it and conducting it and so forth. Some of our African brothers and sisters come over and they'd find out it was me, and they'd want to come up and they'd want to rub on my chest and my shirt and my coat and my arms. And I said, well, yes, it's him. It's not me. That's all I could do. It's him. He did it. I didn't do anything. He did it all. He is the life. He is the resurrection. He is the way. He is the truth. It's not me. All I can do is what little I know to do to preach the gospel to some of his children. So just remember that. I'm just your brother. But I'm so glad that he chose me. I didn't choose him. He chose me. So we're so glad for that. I want to read one scripture and then... What diabetes? Exactly. People ask me, you having trouble with your diabetes? I said, no. I eat anything, can't you tell? I eat anything. I'm outgrowing most of my suits. So I either go on a diet or go down to Goodwill store. But no, really, when I was resurrected, I don't have any trouble with diabetes. I eat anything and everything I want. And God has healed us so many times of so many things. How can we doubt him? Brother Branham talks about it'd be a sin to doubt now. I apply that to myself, friends. It'd be a sin to doubt now. He's healed me. He's not only saved me, which was the greatest thing. He's not only let me get a revelation of his word and of his prophet, which are great things. And he raised me from the dead, which is great things. And he's healed my body numerous times, which is great things. But most of all, he's given me eternal life. He's let me realize and come to the revelation that I'm part of him. I came from him and I'll go to him. We are part of him. Brother Ben said, we're little gods. We're little creators. We come from God. As Jesus said, you'll find out one of the days that God's in me and I in him and you and me and I in you and we in him. So Brother Bam kept telling us to become that word, become that word, become that word. How do you become it? By studying it, by reading it, by listening to it, by praying, by living it, by applying everything of it you can to your life and living it so much so you become that walking word. Not holier than thou or self-righteous or bigger or better or anything else, but just a simple, plain Christian, living a simple, plain Christian life according to the word of God that we've heard. I don't know how else to become that word outside of just living it. And you won't live it unless you listen to it and unless you read it. So let me read you a scripture and then we'll... This has to do with the resurrection. In 1 Thessalonians... I did that up in the office. 1 Thessalonians, couldn't even get it out. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. He says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this day we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto his to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then shall we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So, I don't have a fear of dying. I believe I know where I'm going. If he takes me before I get out of the pulpit, so be it. If he's not done with me and he leaves me here, so be it. If he wants me to go somewhere else and preach, so be it. If he wants me to sit right here and be an encouragement to you folks and stay a deacon and help this church, so be it. What I want is his perfect will in my life because he called me, he's chosen me, he's placed me, and we appreciate all that he has done for us. Sister Stephanie. Oh God is so
answers prayer. Father playing. You've heard the testimony of what God's done for me. I know I heard the story of the brother that laid dead for 4 days in Africa, and the church gathered around him and prayed. And they prayed until God raised him. 4 days. That's a lot longer than 7 minutes. We heard the story of Brother Theo. Brother Erasmus, is that the right one? Not the old voice of God recordings where he passed away and God raised him up. He's still a prayer answering God. He is Hebrews 13:8. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He don't change. His word don't change. So this morning, I told the pastor if it'd be all right, I'd like to, if anybody wants to be prayed for, we'd like to do that because we gave this testimony of what God's done. He's not only healed me of diabetes, he's raised my soul. I raised my body, I mean, from the dead. There's so many things. I've seen him open blind eyes. I've seen him raise the dead. I've seen him heal the sick. I've seen him heal the lame. And over at the little Closet Road church there, the brother had come in on the first New Year's Eve that I was there. And he came in with a broken foot on crutches and what? Walked out carrying his crutches with no pain. See, God is still in the prayer answering business. He hasn't quit. His ear isn't deafened, and his eyes or his arms short, or his eyes blinded, that he can't see our needs and hear our requests. But all we have to do is come forward in faith. So I hope that this testimony of what God's done for me will lift your faith, that if you have a need this morning, the pastor and I would be glad to pray for you, anoint you with oil and pray. If you want to come forward, come and we'll pray with you. If you don't, you can do it this way. You can sit right there in your seat and receive your healing. Did you know that? Sure. Brother Branham did it many times. They didn't have to come and be laid hands on them. They just had to believe is the main thing. But how many of you have a need this morning? Let's see. Anybody with needs? See, we all do. I've got family that's not serving the Lord that I want in. I got a couple things in my body I'd like to have healed when God is ready to do it. I'm claiming my healing. Why not? Brother Ben said he would heal you. He didn't say when. But if you believe it, he will heal. You just keep confessing it. I like what Brother Billy Paul said. He said, I'm going to keep confessing. He said, until my body catches up with my faith. So that's the way I like to do it. Just keep saying, Lord, thank you for healing this, and thank you for healing this, and thank you for healing this, and thank you for healing that over there. Because God, I am healed by your stripes. You promised it, I believe it, and that settles it. See, that's where we're at. He is so good to us. He's so mindful of us. And he said, whatsoever you would ask in my name in faith, believing, that will I do. Not maybe, not might, not possibly. Well, let me think about it for a while. He said, I will do it. He requires one thing, you to believe what he said. Now, how difficult is that? Why, Brother Branham had that song sang so many times, only believe. It wasn't just a song to be sung, just to be singing something for him to come out to. Because he wanted the people to believe the word of God, to believe the promises of God. And if we can just get this out of the way and listen to this man in here and let the faith go. He said a lot of times, he said, you're afraid. But what if I go up there and get prayed for and I don't get healed? What do you mean if? There is no if when it comes down to that. You will be healed. Just believe it. Well, I've heard so many people over the years say, oh, but I don't know, man. What if God don't want to heal? What do you mean he don't want to? Brother Branham said that God wants to heal you more than you want to be healed. That had to tell you what, when you're sick, that has to be a lot of want to. When I'm sick, I don't want to be sick. I want to be healed. I want to be well so I can worship God and praise God and go on with my life. Then what about him? He wants to heal us more than we can ever want to be healed. All we have to do is step out by faith. Now what he told Peter? Come. And as long as his eye was on Jesus, he was all right. But when he took his eyes off of Jesus, he got into trouble. Then what about you and I? If we say we believe, we're going to keep our eyes on Jesus, and we're going to believe the word that he sent through the prophet of God, then if we keep our eyes there, then what can beset us? then we should be able to stand up and say, I accept my healing. Lord God, I accept it. You don't even have to be prayed for if you want it that bad. Now, if any of you here want to be prayed for, want to be hands laid on, then come right on up. If you just want to accept your healing, then in the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and accept it. It's that simple. Because He is so good to me. Oh, and He answers prayer. Oh, He answers prayer. Yes, He answers prayer. He's so good to me. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Oh, I love Him so. I love Him so. I love Him so. He's so good to me. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's so good to me. God is so good. God is so God is so good. He's so good to me. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Jesus, use me. Oh, please, Lord, don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do, and even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble, though the cost be great.
But there's something about
that name once more. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. He's Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. They'll all pass away, but there's something about that name. Oh, can't you see why I'm so happy?
Yes,
well, I've accepted the word of the Lord. It's the revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of Malachi 4. Oh, can't you see I'm happy? I've accepted the word of the Lord. It's the revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of
Let's stand and try to sing this. It's 552 in your hymnal.
Hosanna, oh blessed be the rock, oh blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, oh blessed be the rock, oh blessed be the rock of my salvation. Forevermore. Hosanna. rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Oh, magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Oh, let's magnify the Lord. I know he's so worthy to be praised. Oh, let's magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Oh, then. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock. Let's sing it this way again together. Oh, let's magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Oh, let's magnify the Lord, to be praised. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation. One more time together. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation.
Amen. God bless you this morning. You appreciate what you heard? Amen. God is good. We appreciate the testimonies Brother Layton shared. And me and the deacon brothers like to get Brother Layton in trouble sometimes, so I didn't know when he said God gave him a wife like Moses's. I didn't know if he was going to say she was high-tempered or what, but I didn't know where he was headed with that, but he pulled it right out of that nosedive, so. And me and the brothers, Brother Anthony, Brother Steve, and the different ones. How many was in West Palm Beach for the meetings? When Brother Layton was raised from the dead, looks like Brother Layton was there. He said, yeah, looks like about five of us all together. They were some wonderful meetings. That prayer line he was talking about Saturday night, I was sitting right on the front row, and the minister brothers were there. Brother Billy Paul, and I usually don't bother them, but Brother Billy Paul, he was praying and praying and praying. I forget how many there was, hundreds of them, that 900, Brother Layton said, that came through. And the whole church just came through, and it was packed out and overflow and everything else. And I was watching Brother Billy Paul, and he was just so weak from praying for so many people, and he started kind of just to rock back and forth. And I usually don't like to interrupt him, but I grabbed Brother West to go to sleep because he was right in front of me. I said, "Watch him; he's going to fall if you don't hold him." And so he kind of held on to Brother Billy Paul, and it had just so many memories from those. From those meetings, and as Brother Layton said, run into them. And I think you all rode down in your van with the Hickersons, didn't you? And Brother and Sister Hickerson, weren't they with you that time? No, not that time. Not that time, but I know we would see you all in the shuttles, and that was other meetings, I guess, but we'd see you all in the shuttles and out to eat in places. And he was talking about how people wanted to, you know, touch him and shake his hand and hug him and things like that. Can you imagine if we'd been in the days of Jesus and Lazarus came walking through, we would have wanted to see him and shake his hand too. So. Amen. We understand those things. It's not that it's Brother Layton, it's God that did it, but you know, any of these other brothers that God's done something for, anointed them or whatever, it's not so much those brothers, it's God that's doing it. But we still appreciate the gifts that God's placed in people's life and the testimonies and the things that each one does for the Lord. And so we enjoy seeing one another and fellowshipping with one another. But good to have each and every one of you in the service this morning. Greet the visitors, you home folks, and greet one another, not just the visitors. And if you came in with a frown this morning, hopefully by the end of service we've turned that upside down. You can go out with a smile on your face and happy to be serving the Lord. And we're a blessed people. We heard an eagle scream. Amen. I'm thankful that we heard that. Amen. Let's sing this together before we go. Oh, we'll walk in the light. It's such a beautiful light. Oh, it comes where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Lord, just shine all around us by day and by night. Oh, it's Jesus, the light of the world. Let's sing it again together. Oh, we're gonna walk in the light. It's such a beautiful light. Oh, it comes where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Lord, just shine all around us by day and by night. Oh, it's Jesus, the light of the world. Let's just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, that's truly our desire, to walk in the light, because you are the light. Lord, may you guide each step along our pathway. Be with each one that's gathered here this morning. Lord, may the testimonies that we've heard encourage us in our own walk with you, Father. Lord, may we go out of here a little closer to you than we were when we came in. And be with each one as we go our separate ways, Father. Lord, just bless each family that's represented. Comfort each one. Guide them in their life. And Lord, be with them. Be the center of their home. Be the center of their life, Father. Protect them as we go our separate ways, Lord. Bring us back tonight at the appointed time, Lord. And Lord, we'll just be looking and expecting for you to meet us again, because you said wherever two or three are gathered, you'd be in our midst. We love you, Lord. We commit all these things, Lord, that each person is facing, Lord. We don't have all the answers, but we know where to take them to, Father. We commit it to you, Father. The different needs, whether they're spiritual, physical, financial, marital, whatever it would be, we commit it to you this morning, Father, and just ask you to be the unseen guest in each home, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Let's sing it again together. Oh, yes, we'll walk.